Hi, I'm Nora Cavani, and this is Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, your trusted source on child gut health, brought to you by Alba Health, live on the UK Health Radio. Thousands of studies now link a child's gut health to common symptoms like colic, constipation, and eczema, as well as to long-term health risks like allergies, asthma, and obesity. In each episode, I speak with global experts and scientists to explore the latest research on children's nutrition, gut health, and well-being. Let's dive into the science. Did you know that the food that you buy at the supermarket for yourself and for your child might not be as healthy as you think? Many everyday products that you find at the supermarket or in restaurants on the kids' menu are ultra-processed. These foods may look harmless and normal, but they can disrupt your child's gut health, their immune system, their metabolism, with consequences that can last a lifetime. Today's guest is someone whose passion for health is not just professional, it's deeply personal. Johannes Kulberi is a health coach, best-selling author and speaker, as well as a father of three. He began his journey as Sweden's youngest stock market CEO and the founder of the organic grocery store Paradiset. But it was during the pandemic that Johannes shifted his focus and became a digital health coach, inspiring hundreds of thousands of people to take control of their well-being. With over 20 years of international experience in health, food, and leadership, Johannes has a unique perspective on the challenges that people face when confronting ultra-processed food. He's been also recognized as Sweden's Changemaker of the Year 2023. In today's episode, we're talking about something that matters deeply to both of us: how ultra-processed food can affect children's health, mental health, and development for life. And you'll take away key tips on what you can do from today to avoid this ultra-processed food. Welcome, Johannes. It's great to have you today.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Let's get started with your journey. You have a great experience spanning from many different angles. What inspired you to become a digital health coach and to focus on food?
So the digital part was the pandemic, because as you mentioned, I had built my grocery chain and COVID just managed to destroy everything. Really bad timing, but that is life. So I was sitting at home thinking about what to do, and I got frustrated. And when I get frustrated, things start to happen. And I looked at social media, which I don't like very much. And I was thinking, can I do something to use it for a good purpose, to educate people? And that's when I started in September 2020.
How did you become interested in health and food in the first place?
I've always been. My father was a doctor, my sister is a doctor, my mom is a psychologist, and my brother works, he used to be a defense lawyer. So everybody's working with people and in some way trying to help other people. And my initial interest was trying to understand how to build muscle, because I was tall and very, very lean. And so when I was 15, I started weightlifting, and my results were not really impressive. I didn't understand the part of food, at least not in the way I do today. And I also combined it with alcohol, which is not a very good combination.
And you're also a father of three.
Yes.
So has your perspective changed also by being a father?
Yes, I think that's the sort of pivotal point in most people's lives, both for women and for men, that you understand that it's not everything is not about you. And when you get your first child, it's a big shift in your mind. And that's when I started thinking about creating Paradiset, because I was so frustrated with what you could buy in the stores in Sweden for your children. And I have a background from establishing Lidl, the hard discount grocery chain as well in Norway, and working internationally. So I know how they operate, and I know how to trick people to buy what I want them to buy. And I thought, why not use this knowledge to help people instead to buy good stuff?
That's fantastic. We really need that.
Yeah.
So maybe let's start from the beginning. What is ultra-processed food?
So ultra-processed food are more and more common today. I would describe it as food products, food-like products that are masquerading. It's not real food, and it's something that's been composed in factories, often using ingredients that you cannot find at home, like emulsifiers, aromas, sweeteners, etc., etc. So when you look at the backside of your product, and if the list is more than five ingredients and it contains word that you don't understand, you can be pretty sure it's ultra-processed. And why is this a problem? Well, because it has very little nutritional value, almost zero fiber, and lots of sugar, fat, and salt. And everything is designed for you to want to eat as much as possible, as fast as possible, as often as possible. And all these things will create a problem because you will gain weight and create a cascade of metabolic health issues.
What are examples of ultra-processed foods?
So, for example, chips, soda, a lot of bread. You have it in all categories, but let's say what is not ultra-processed. It's the food that you find in the outside of the store, the fish, the meat, the vegetables, and anything with just one ingredient. So I would normally also give a tip, and that is if your grandmother would consider this as a food and recognize it as a food, it is a food. So
yeah,
it's a good simple rule.
Good rule. So would you say that everything that is a whole food, so as made in nature, or maybe with the one, two ingredients, that would be a whole food, and everything else is processed to some degrees?
Yes. And you have products that are processed that are still okay. So to make a bread, you have to process it. You have to grind the flour and so on and put it in the oven. So it's a chemical reaction. But you can still use natural ingredients to create this. And this would be considered a processed but not ultra-processed food. So the ultra-processed, I would focus on, it's heavily marketed also. So if you know it from commercials, you never market broccoli. the easiest thing is to look on the backside if you're in doubt and see, are there words that I absolutely don't recognize? Then you're certain.
From your content, I love that you explain this gradient almost from what's the whole food, what's something that is a bit more processed but still okay, to something that is the far kind of ultra processed. Can you make an example of that gradient for a few ingredients?
So if you would take a potato that then ends up being a French fry, for example. Mm-hmm. So a potato, if it's boiled, no problem. If it's fried in a pan, no problem. But when you have it in McDonald's, for example, they add dextrose, which is a form of sugar. They add lots of salt. They add different aromas and ingredients to make it both look better, taste better, and last longer. And so it's lots of different things that you add. And along this journey, the caloric content increases immensely. You also, you boil it in vegetable oil that has been sitting for a long while that's oxidized. So you create another group of problems there. So you need to add products so it changes the original nutrient profile to something that's really bad. Or you could compare oats that you can make a porridge from, and you can have like the oat flakes that you buy in a carton with fancy sayings on the front side, and if you look on the back, they use extrusion, which is a process to create a special texture that crunches in your mouth, and they add also colorings, flavorings, and sweeteners and everything to make it a really pleasing feeling in your mouth. So if it's a very beautiful box with saying healthy things on the front, also you can be certain it's an ultra-processed food.
That's also a good rule. So you said that there's many reasons why ultra-processed foods are bad for our health and can be harmful for our health. One of them, you said, most of the time they don't contain fiber. What is fiber and why is it important?
So fiber is something that we find in carbohydrates. You can divide carbohydrates in fast and slow, basically. And the slow carbohydrates, like containing a lot of fibers, are vegetables, for example, where if you eat a lot of vegetables, you will get a lot of fiber that will help your digestion. It will feed your gut bacteria. And it's very, very important for our health. But most Swedish people, or most people in the world, eat too little. And that's why we see we have so much problem with constipation or different kind of stomach issues, and our gut microbiota or gut flora is very reduced because we eat basically the same things over and over with very little fiber. So, and then you will see, you will notice it when you go to the bathroom, and almost, I would say 90% of my clients have problems with their gut or their stomach when they start working with me. But then we introduce a lot of vegetables and natural fibers. And in the beginning, it can get worse. But then after a while, the stomach really appreciates it. And it's a dramatic effect on health.
Right. So fiber is one of the reasons why ultra-processed food can be difficult for our health. And then you also mentioned there's many added ingredients, salt, sugar. What are the most used ones and the ones to watch out for the most?
So the most used ones are salt and sugar.
Yeah.
And sugar, you have to understand now, is people understand that sugar is not good, but in the industry, they're very clever. So they find other ways to put sugar in the product without you understanding it. There are about 200 different industry words for sugar that you can use instead. And as a customer, if you look for sugar, you won't find it. And then it's difficult. You will always find it in when you look at the nutrients on the backside. But often on the front, it says contains no added sugar. And it's a very nasty trick, I think, because it refers to refined sugar. So sugar is super important to make things palatable and for people to get a dopamine kick from the product. So there's a lot of that.
Are there healthier alternatives to sugar, for example, dates or honey, and how healthy are they?
So all sugar is sugar, but the difference is how refined is it and in what context. So you have fruit sugar or fructose in a fruit, it always comes with fiber. So when you have sugar and fiber, it's much easier on the blood glucose because the fiber slows the release of glucose into the bloodstream. So it's a good thing. And if you look at an orange, you can eat one orange without a problem. Two oranges, you start to get full. If you look at a glass of orange juice where all the fiber has been removed, you can drink three glasses like that without a problem, and you get huge amounts of fructose in your body. So the fiber is there from nature to make us absorb the glucose in a natural manner that won't spike our blood sugar. So yeah, there are very big differences, I would say, but some people can also think, okay, dates, that's natural, I can use as much dates as I want, and that's not also not a good option.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you also talked about oils. Mm-hmm. So oils are used to fry. For example, you made the example of fries. Why can they be a problematic?
And this is a big, big topic because vegetable oils are polyunsaturated. And that means they, in the medical literature, they would lower the LDL, the bad cholesterol. So it's recommended by the medical society and Livsmedelsverket and FDA and so on. But what we have seen is polyunsaturated fats oxidize really quickly. They react with heat, temperature, and sunlight. So, and what they do is they deteriorate and they create an oxidation in the body, which can be damaging for your cells and your DNA. And it's a slow process. But you can really track it on inflammation in the body. And the problem here is that for the industry, vegetable oils are super, super cheap. And they have very good qualities for making ultra-processed foods. So there are, for every study that claims vegetable oils are bad, there are 10 that say they are good. Mm-hmm. So here it starts to become really difficult. And you have to understand and be able to see the research to understand which study has been actually ordered by the food industry and which is not. So I can only rely on my experience from working with now maybe 15,000 clients, and we see what happens when they are introduced solely to natural fats, that's butter, that's ghee, that's olive oil, coconut oil, and we take away the ultra-processed, refined vegetable oils. And it's a dramatic increase in their health. So it's one whole show just talking about this, I would say. But I recommend everybody to stay away from these oils that you find, the cheap oils that you find in clear bottles in the grocery store. They are trash. Olive oil, fantastic. But then coconut oil, avocado, all that natural, based from fruits. That's the big difference.
You were mentioning earlier that these oils contain omega-6 and can shift the balance in our body from having more omega-6 than having omega-3. Yeah. What do you know about that?
So a couple of hundred years ago, we ate a lot of fish, fatty fish, which contains omega-3. Omega-3 is anti-inflammatory. Then we have the omega-6, which comes from vegetable oil and vegetable-based products. It's rich in omega-6 and it's pro-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. We need both. We need to create an inflammation. That's a good thing. And we also need to be able to dampen it, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But if we have a very uneven balance where we have too much omega-6, then you will have what's called a silent inflammation, chronic inflammation, ongoing. And you can see this based on, like we talked about, eczema. Often really easily getting a cold or becoming sick. And for children today, it's one of the most common, I would say, almost every kid has a pretty huge imbalance where it might be up to 25 to 1 omega-6 to omega-3. Mm-hmm. So we need to really supplement either by mackerel, fatty fish like this, or with a good omega-3 supplement, because it's a big problem.
Do you have some examples of common kids' foods that contain vegetable oils and therefore omega-6?
Basically, every kid food, if we talk kid food with the fried, the fast food, anything that's ultra-processed is extremely high in omega-6.
So fries, nuggets,
yes,
store-bought meatballs.
Everything, yeah. And especially the vegan options or the vegetable options. I would really recommend that you make your own food if you want to do that. You can air fry, potatoes if you like fries instead of using the bought French fries.
And great. So now we know what ultra-processed foods are, what they contain. What do we know about what they do to our health?
So there are loads of observational studies and also some controlled studies. And what we can see from the bigger studies are basically every health aspect is being affected, which is not so strange because what we eat will have an effect on our health. But especially the biggest signs are overweight, obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, but also quite a lot of mental health issues that are becoming more and more recognized now due to both. One is the increase of insulin resistance, and you have Alzheimer that is now being called insulin resistance or type 3 diabetes. You also see that it affects our signal substances, like it has a big effect on dopamine and then endorphins, and our mental well-being is really being affected. And because most of these are being produced in our gut, and if we don't get the raw material to produce it, it's going to have a big effect. There are also some really good randomized control studies showing, especially on focus on that we have a very difficult time to stop eating. We eat faster, we eat more, and it takes longer time until we become full. And one study by Kevin D. Hall, 2019, showed that on average you would eat 500 calories more per day. And there was another study now done in Tokyo in just 2024, December, showed 800 calories more per day, and that would aggregate to 500 calories more a day. That's a half a kilo of fat per week, and 800 calories, then 0.8 kilos per week. So you gain a lot of weight, and it's not a healthy weight that you gain.
And you mentioned earlier that these foods can promote inflammation.
Yeah.
Seems like inflammation is at the foundation of most chronic diseases.
Yeah.
Would you say can affect other diseases as well? For example, eczema, it's an inflammatory condition. Allergies, asthma, do you think it has an effect?
For sure, absolutely. I think it's really strange that this isn't talked about more by the medical society and as guidelines, because the scary part is how, for example, here in Sweden, that our FDA, Livsmedelsverket, is really talking a lot about real meat, red meat, that it's being cancerogenic, but won't talk about ultra-processed foods. And this is just a scandal. So, there's too much money in this area for them to butt heads with big food. You can't trust your government to help you here. You have to educate yourself.
Do your own research.
Yeah.
And inflammation often also goes together with aging.
Yeah.
Would you say that ultra-processed foods can be linked to faster aging as well?
Oh, yes. There are also several studies about this and a very strong connection to earlier death. So increased mortality earlier. So it definitely speeds up aging.
Would you say having ultra-processed foods can be even more harmful during childhood, in the first years of development, because we know that the first 1,000 days of life are so important for a child's development, to develop their immune system, their brain, their metabolism, and what they do in that time can stay with them for life. So do you think it's even more damaging?
For sure. There are also quite interesting studies showing how quickly the brain will change based on especially the dopamine rewards. So if they had one study where they gave younger people a milkshake every day for 2 weeks, and they could track and see the changes in how the brain operated and the signaling responses from just showing an image of the milkshake, and also them wanting high sugar, high fat food much more than normal food, and it's very fast. So, and this is being then cemented into your brain. You can always change, but it's much harder to go back. And I see this a lot with my youngest, where we sort of, I think, had let go a little bit of the control. And she is completely hooked on junk food. And it's a constant struggle.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Now then, let's get to the heart of the discussion here, which is, if these foods are so harmful, why do we find them all around us in the supermarket?
Yeah.
Most of the food products that we find are ultra-processed. Why is that?
Money. They are so profitable. And knowing, since I worked in the industry, I worked with the biggest companies in the world on this. The kind of ingredients, if you call it that, or components that you use to produce this food is the cheapest of the cheapest, and they last forever. So you can manufacture this kind of food for very, very little money, and you can spend loads on advertising and still sell it a lot cheaper than real food. So from a financial perspective, it's much more interesting that you eat ultra-processed food than eat healthy. And this is common knowledge in the big companies. There have even been leaked informations from Unilever, for example, or Nestle, where they have seen how a majority of their assortment is not even a grade 3 out of 5 on a healthy scale. It's unhealthy. And this is internal documents acknowledging that they know this. But it's a shareholder economy, like you know us being a management consultant before. So money talks, and if you as a CEO would like to change this, you're going to be gone the next day.
Exactly. It's very true.
Yeah.
I've also worked in this industry and I can confirm that. Mm-hmm. What are the tactics that companies use to make food look healthier when it's on the shelf?
There are so many, but starting with the packaging, you want to make it pop. You want to make it eye-catching. So that you want to take it from the shelf. And when you then open it, you want to get the smell. You want to, it has to sort of feel appetizing. And there are loads of different techniques. I think like chips and cookies are really good examples. Also what they do. So for example, Doritos chips, they are phenomenal in every aspect. The shape, the flavor, the crunch, how they dissolve in your mouth quickly, so you want to eat more because your body thinks you didn't get anything. Everything is meticulously designed to make you eat more often, and buy again and have this craving. And just one thing that they have, like a mix of spices with time release capsules on them. So you get one flavor, not everything at the same time. And this will keep your mental interest so that you don't get feel full. If you just eat chicken breast or broccoli, the same flavor all over, you will become full faster. So there are so many techniques to make you buy more products.
And often plant-based foods, gluten-free foods, vegan foods are marketed as healthier.
Yeah.
So they're made to look healthier and better for you. Is that true?
In most cases, I would say no, because of how they are being prepared. And when I started Paradiset, I got a lot of heat from the vegan society that we sold so little vegan products. And my response was, I will sell any vegan product as long as this meets our standards, where we don't allow any artificial ingredients. And sadly, most of them are primarily focused on being vegan and tasting good and not being healthy. But this goes to all categories. But it's a very simple trick to put some green color on, right, high in protein and high in fiber, for example, if it's cereal or something. And then the rest is crap.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. May I introduce you to Frequency Medicine from BioHealthScan? It's a brilliant new way to achieve optimal personal health safely, scientifically, painlessly. Find out more about our 21-day challenge. Google biohealth-scan.com/21-day-challenge or ukhealthradio.com for details of our amazing 20% discount offer. Discover what you can achieve with BioHealthScan and enjoy a 20% introductory discount into the bargain. BioHealthScan, paving the way to manage your health a better way.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Very often also milk alternatives, so plant-based milks, are marketed as healthier.
Yeah.
For example, oat milk.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's the biggest bullshit scandal ever. It's only riding on the sustainability consciousness or the guilt that you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start drinking, for example, Oatly's barista milk, it's much sweeter. So most women that drink it, because it's mostly women who drink this, get hooked because you get a stronger sugar kick. So,
yeah, definitely. Really agree on that.
Mm.
Now it's quite normal to see in restaurants, you have a kids menu, you have fries, nuggets, pasta, pizza, these kind of things. What do you think about that?
I think it's crazy that we have lower the expectations on children that they can't eat real food. If you go to Japan, for example, the children eat the same as the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And why shouldn't they? But everybody now expects that children want French fries, pancakes, and this kind of crap food. And of course, it tastes really good. So if I was a child and had the option to choose French fries and nuggets, I would go for it any day of the week. But if I wasn't introduced to it and asked to eat a piece of steak and a salad or something like this, my son, he is quite an exception. So he would have a steak and then for dessert, he had fish. And it's because he was taught from an early age to experiment and try real food. So he doesn't know that kind of world. Or he knows it now, but he prefers real food. And then on the contrary, my youngest would only ask for this stuff. And if I know what I know now, I would have been much, much stricter when she was young.
There are many studies that show that actually what you eat in the first years of life up to 18 months can shape your preferences for life, right? So if you eat more vegetables or given more vegetables, you will learn to like that food.
And you can often see when you have funny videos on TikTok where you give broccoli to a child and they will make crazy faces. But it's an amazing way to introduce it, because the first time they make a crazy face, the second time maybe a little bit, the third time they're going to eat it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to eat it all the times, but they have to understand and get used to the flavors and texture.
I talked to one of the doctors that was doing this study in Sweden. They were trying to introduce Nordic foods to children early on, for example, lingonberries.
Yeah.
And they had this problem where parents were calling them all the time saying, I gave lingonberries to my child and he made such bad faces. And parents are anxious and scared about it. You know, is it right? Is it not right? But their advice was, don't worry, like nothing is happening. It's harmless.
Exactly.
It's not a problem and they will get used to it and eat it.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, if you look at Iceland where they sell or eat fermented shark that's been like fermented in its own urine, it's crazy. But if you can learn a child to get used to that, it's not a problem. You just have to start early and make them understand this is real food and yeah, it's good.
And I find that very often in our society, we associate being healthy with being lean mm-hmm. and having low body fat. So if a person is lean, they feel like, oh, I can eat more and I can eat my fries and everything. And for kids, a lot of people are under the impression that they can take more and they can eat fries because they will not gain weight as easily. What can we say about that?
So children have a faster metabolism. But that doesn't mean that the glucose spikes and the inflammatory foods that they get don't hurt them. So they're like you said before, their brain, the nervous system, everything is developing. So the hits they get strike much harder. So I would be much more careful with a child than an adult. And they are not, they can't withstand the pressure better than we can. And if we look at adults that are being really slim, they are normally what I call French fry slim. So they have pretty much quite a lot of fat inside and also a lot of inflammation. And you will see it later on, especially getting with joint pain and aches, and then you can have eczema and so on. So yeah, being skinny can be a blessing, but it can also be in disguise.
I can add my personal perspective because as I shared, I started to have very severe eczema on all of my body when I was 27. I've always been lean and I thought I was eating normal food because I was eating what my colleagues were eating and what's at the supermarket. And very often you think what's normal is also healthy because why not? And what really, really changed my life was to change my nutrition and what I eat. When I made that change, my eczema went away. I've been free from that for years. And I felt enormous anger with society, with, even the governments, because I felt scammed in a way. Nobody had told me these things. And it's something that, you know, finding out this information is often a person's own responsibility and job. But there's a lot of research to be made. So what would you say, what's the biggest tip you would give to parents or actually to any individual? How can they orient into this confusing landscape and what can they start doing from today?
So basically, I think just to comment to that, what's being normal today is not natural. So yep. We have to think normal and normalized doesn't mean it's natural or good for you, but it's the standards have shifted so much. So we need to go back to what's natural for us. We are human animals. So what would you give your dog? You wouldn't give them Coke. You can always think that you are actually an animal. And everything comes down to dose and frequency. So if you now and again have Coke Zero or French fries, for example, it's not a big problem. But if you do it too often or very often, then it starts to become a problem. So the main simple advice is to cook more food. And please do it together with your children. They will learn best to go grocery shopping together, then cook the food. They will learn how to respect the food and cook it, and they will eat more because they've been part of the cooking process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my number one tip, and you don't have to make it more complicated than that. And if you then feel super tired, go buy sushi or pizza, whatever you want. Just don't do it every day.
So would you say if you never cook in a week, start with one day a week,
yes,
2 days a week, yeah, and then increase?
Yeah, start with one meal a week, and then you add one more. And when you do that meal, make it big so you can have it more days. So batch cooking, I think, is amazing.
Many parents are very overwhelmed with everything that they have to do, all the changes that happen in their life, and they feel stress and anxiety. What would you tell them to relieve a bit that anxiety, but empower them to make these important changes?
A very interesting thing is when you look at what you actually spend your time on, you would see that I'm holding an imaginary phone here. You spend quite a lot of time looking at this when you think you're relaxing because you need to wind down. But it actually is just keeping your brain active, so you're not relaxing. If you would take 1 hour or 2 hours a week from screen watching, you have quite a lot of time to cook. And you will soon realize that cooking is super relaxing. So it's a win-win in time management and your health.
And it could be almost like a game. Also, yeah, with kids, it could, yeah, be a fun activity. It doesn't,
absolutely,
need to be a job, you know, and a chore necessarily.
No. And it doesn't have to look perfect or taste perfect, but it can be a start. So yeah, it's a really simple, good tip.
What are some of the results you've seen with the people you coach, especially families?
And they're huge. We normally now only do 30-day programs because we focus on teaching. But during these 30 days, we normally see four phases. The first phase is like happiness and it's going to be fun. Then quite quickly, day two or three, it's down the drain because your energy goes through stomach starts to become a problem because suddenly you get real food in your stomach and your body isn't used to, mm-hmm, it. And once your body gets used to that, you will come back up again and you will start feel so much better. You will start losing a lot of weight. So on average, our clients lose about 5 kilos in 30 days and about 6 centimeters in their waist. And then they continue, 73% of them continue to lose weight afterwards if they want to.
Did you also see results in kids?
We don't work with kids as clients. But I know anecdotally from families, because often you change your whole diet as a family,
yeah,
and they have written back that the whole family is feeling better. And especially when we talk about omega-3, because supplements is also a part of what we prescribe, that they are not so often sick. And if you have kids with NPF, like ADHD or something, you see a lot of improved results as well, autism.
Yeah. And how hard is it to make the changes? Do you see that most of the people you work with are able to make this change, or is it very difficult? So how hard is it?
I would say the key is to create a strong why. Why do you want to do the change? If that is very clear and you share it with your family so everybody's in line with it, then it's not very hard. But if you don't have a clear understanding, if it's just about, I want to try to lose weight, then it's going to be harder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So having a clear motivation.
Yeah.
How fast can you see the results, especially when it comes to weight?
Very fast. So you would, within a week, you will see pretty dramatic results, but it can also be water weight that you lose because you have tied up water in carbs and inflammation and if you have a lot of stress. But it depends on how you've been eating before. But it can be fast. But I don't want to have too big weight loss in the beginning. I want the body to sort of shift out slowly. So about 1 kilo a week is a pretty good change. And then 0.5 kilo in the long term.
Do you see that this weight loss goes together with some symptom reduction as well?
Many. So like we talked about the inflammation, so the joint pain, the skin, often you start glowing.
Yeah.
And much more energy and sort of outlook on life. So a lot of it is mental. And then when you have the energy, you can start exercise more. And then it's a positive cycle. So yeah, it's an amazing thing.
I saw it on myself as well. Resolving my eczema changed everything, actually, my body, my health, my mental health. I started to feel better. I had a lot of acne. My skin changed a lot in other ways as well, and also my body, really.
You feel better with yourself, so you get better with self-confidence, and that in turn will improve your quality of life.
It's a positive cycle, and especially I can imagine if you're also doing it for your children and you see that change reflecting in the whole family. Great. I think we've been through all of our questions. Thank you so much, Johannes. This was very, very interesting, and I feel like we should do more episodes with you because you have so much knowledge to share.
I'd be happy to.
If our listeners want to find you, where can they find you on your channels?
So they can go to johanneskullberg.com, Kullberg with a C, or johanneskullberg at Instagram. And that's probably, you have me on TikTok and YouTube and everything. So, but it's simple.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Nora Cavani, and thank you for joining me on Healthy Gut, Healthy Kids, live on UK Health Radio. This episode was brought to you by Alba Health. We analyze your child's gut health, provide personalized nutrition plans, and coaching for the best start in life. We are the first and only company with a large clinical study on child gut health, and our team counts over 1,600 scientific publications in this topic. We translate this complex science into simple, personalized actions for families. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.